Welcome to No Church Answers, the weekly Christian podcast for men. We're not pastors, just regular guys looking to model positive Christian leadership in our work, families, church, and communities. Want to discover ways to apply scripture effectively in everyday life? Tired of the pat answers in Sunday school? Then settle in for a gritty, authentic, and unexpectedly funny Christian podcast. And now, No Church Answers.
And welcome to No Church Answers. This is a Christian roundtable discussion for men. This is podcast number 323. Hard to believe. And we're glad you're here. And where is here? Here is Sugar Land, Texas. So grab a globe, spin it around, boom. Not sure where you ended up, but spin it around, find Texas. Southeast side of Texas is Houston. Southwest side of Houston is Sugar Land. And that is where we are. You know, we're not pastors. We're just regular guys, each on our own spiritual journey. And we're just meeting daily challenges, just like you out there. But we're glad that you've joined us for this spirited discussion. This podcast has been called Deliberately Provocative and Unexpectedly Funny. So we're so glad that you decided to check us out. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and then NoChurchAnswers.com. So please rate our podcast and leave a review. And of course, without your support, all of this would not be possible. And I'm going to go ahead and jump right in and introduce our panel. And I'm going to start with, he is a former world-class policy writer. He is a current professional gambler. He's also the show producer, Mr. Steve Titch.
Hey, Steve.
He is a former prosecutor. He is an attorney. He's the group historian and world traveler this time. We call him the judge back from Mexico, Michael Cropper.
Hey, Mike.
Welcome back. Nice tan.
Thank you.
And he is a corporate trainer, kind of the group theologian, a big deal in talent development, back from being out of the area. He is the professor, Robert Koshu.
Hi, Robert.
Welcome back, Robert.
Back.
And my name is Bill Cox. Basically, I'm a salesman and the host. And I'd like to welcome back Michael Cropper. Just got back from a trip to Mexico, a mission trip. And I just want to preface this by saying something that Pastor Phil told me once. You know, it's cheaper to send paint and paintbrushes down to Mexico. But when you send people, you not only change the environment, but you change people's hearts. And so we're so glad that Mike was out there doing it. And Mike, would you like to give us a little bit of kind of background on what happened?
Sure. It changed my heart.
Excellent.
Anyway, folks, I was privileged to be part of a mission trip to Huachochi, Mexico, from March 9th to March 15th last week. The trip began at 5 a.m. in the morning at Sugarland Baptist Church. And we proceeded to Aldama, Mexico, for about 14 hours, and then slept.
How much
there
of that
overnight.
Was paved roads?
It was all paved.
It was all paved? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Then we proceeded to Huachochi, Mexico, a town. By the way, I'm gonna spell it for you folks in case I'm saying it wrong. It's Guachochi, Mexico, a town located in the state of Chihuahua. We did make one stop, like I said, at the night at a medical complex in Juan Aldama. And our church has been very, very effective in helping build a medical center there and repair it and do things at that location. So we stayed there. There's a building with bunks for young people to come and have retreats or learn about the Lord. And we were able to stay in those bunks one night, and then we got up early again and went on to Huachochi.
So there's other groups that also go in and do that kind of stuff, too,
yes,
huh?
In fact, there used to be 10, anywhere from 6 to 10 different churches that would do this during the year, Bill. And after COVID, there's only two now. There's only one other church that does it sequentially like us at a regular intervals. We do it every 6 months, and I understand they do it every 6 months also when we're not there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So great question. So the entire trip is about 1,065 miles each way. We at Sugarland Baptist assist a mission support organization called GAP. This is the acronym for Gloria El Padre, or Glory to the Father. Our goal is to share the gospel by assisting our partners in Mexico through construction and operation of medical facilities, construction and maintenance of church and parsonage buildings, which we worked on this last time, health and spiritual education, and agricultural support. The In Mexico GAP is directed by Dr. Hugo Iroguen, a medical doctor with a big heart to help the many indigent residents. He treats them with medicine as well as the gospel. His work for Jesus is tireless as he coordinates the projects and he supplies the material or makes sure the material is there when we arrive to instruct and maintain the buildings for whatever project they have assigned to us. The mission trip from Sugarland Baptist is coordinated by Jimmy Carroll, who's a member of Sugarland Baptist Church. Now, a few years ago, I was invited by Kyle Tryhan, a former member of our podcast, who proved to be a very effective tool of the Holy Spirit. He encouraged me to participate because I have some basic skills in carpentry. I've always wanted to help people if I have the opportunity, but not in Mexico. I got to tell you, folks.
And you're underselling your carpentry skills, by the way.
Yeah. And hopefully this fits in with the leadership and guidance from the Holy Spirit today in today's lesson, which Steve will tell us about in just a few minutes. But anyway, I felt that I should go on one of the mission trips, but I effectively dodged every chance they asked me to go. And my excuse was dangerous lurking in the shadows. We call them the cartels. But anyway, I effectively rebuffed the call several times and created some reason to justify my choice not to go on the mission trips. Oh, I need more time to work on the podcast. Oh, I need more time to work on two podcasts.
Blame the podcast.
I did. Listen, I looked for any reason I could not to go. Well, Kyle again approached me and suggested I talk with Jimmy Carroll. And all the guys in this podcast know Jimmy Carroll. I did not know him. I think you all of you did. And Jimmy is a positive and very delightful encourager who promptly annihilated every excuse I could create. Jimmy said, I have been there 42 times on these mission trips. They are safe. We have a lot of fun. Come go with us. And that's how I ended up on the trip. So our focus on this trip was to frame a garage for the existing parsonage and complete various details on a church building on the same adjacent located on the same ground. And Sugarland Baptist Church framed that particular church 6 months ago. Now, folks have a minimum knowledge of framing houses, so I was delighted when Jimmy assigned me to help build the garage. I'm 72 years old, and I was shocked to see men who were older than me building and setting a double 26-foot beam in the garage and 9 32-foot long rafters on the garage, 10 foot in the air, because I thought, I'm old, I can retire, but those men shame me. I'll tell you what, I realize that I have no excuse not to work hard for the Lord. Really, that's what the Holy Spirit ministered to me. At least five of those guys were engineers with petroleum, chemical, electrical, and project management degrees, and they came on the mission trip, and several of them have been there many, many times. And they have extensive experience framing buildings, although they are not carpenters. So I was not inclined to give them any advice unless they asked me for my opinion, because I could embarrass myself. So here's a man-up point of the mission trip. I saw three different locations on the day we arrived before we started the work the next day on a Monday. And we assist GAP in providing the gospel and medical assistance to the indigent people who come for help. I saw our church provide much needed support and assistance to other churches who were in dire need of assistance. Now, I remember Jesus loved the people to whom he taught the gospel, and he often healed them and sometimes provided food. And he showed great compassion to many of those, and he gave their sin. Now, here's my take, folks. When I compare the mission trip to any of Paul's trips, I'm ashamed to entertain any type of complaint because we had all our wants met. Paul walked on most of his journeys, and he often went without food. He often slept on the ground and took no showers. I was grateful because we stayed in a hotel with beds, heat, food, and hot water for showers. We rode in nice vans to the faraway locations. So the trip to Wauchope and from Wauchope was arduous. It was 1,600 miles, I said, and many long hours, but it was rewarding, especially since we help our partners provide medical help along with the gospel to many of the indigent residents. Okay, guys, any questions?
I'm amazed you were able to get one house framed with seven engineers there in a quick manner. I'm just saying. I work with engineers all day, so.
No, this is a great, great question because that's what I was told when I was starting the trip. But all of them know to yield one for leadership and what they're going to do. Another one yields to another one who's going to do all the cutting of the wood. They have their places cut out, and they have their designated areas that they work, and they're very efficient at it.
Oh, it's almost like the body of Christ. We're diverse and assigning ourselves in various ways. I took a joke and turned it spiritual. Look at that.
Now, did you complete a building? The framing done already?
We framed it. We framed it from the ground up. And they were nice enough to ask my advice on those large beams and rafters, because the span was 26 foot across the garage and 26 foot, it was a square, 26 by 26. Now get this, the rafters and beam boards that they're going to use are only 16 foot long. So they said, how do we do this? I said, well, I would double them and flex beam them because they don't have access to longer boards. And they talked about it, and then they said, how would you make it stronger? I said, well, I would put a strong back in it. That's what we called. If you go up in your attic, all of you, you'll see a board running perpendicular to your rafters, and it'll be attached to another board that's nailed into it, and it's called a strong back. I said, I will attach a strong back also onto the rafters and tie them together as a unit. And I don't know if you guys know, but if you tie a roof together with boards between the rafters, they will become a unit. They're much, much, much stronger, even if they're smaller boards. So the guys thought about it, and the next day they did a lot of that. They chose to put up a beam under the rafters, a double beam under the rafters from the ground up, instead of using the strong back. But they know what they're doing, and they got it done. So they were nice enough to ask me an opinion, and I gave them my opinion. So other than that, I kept my mouth
shut. Strong back instead of a header.
Well, a header's over your window and your doors.
Well, right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And over your garage door as well.
Like I said, he undersold his basic carpentry skills.
Bill, straighten that up. Great question you asked. Folks, it really wasn't a strong back. As I'm saying, what they did, they took the double boards, they ran four boards, and they made them into a beam itself and pushed up against it and then supported it from the ground up. So
excellent. Let's get a takeaway, one final takeaway, and then we'll go to break, Mike.
In this particular case, I knew I wanted to help people. And folks, if you have an area that you feel like the Lord is calling you to do, and by the way, half of the engineers that went on the trip are not carpenters, and they just do whatever needs to be done. So you would be, if you feel a calling to go and help on a mission trip like this, you would be useful, even if you're not a carpenter. So a good question, Bill. So I highly recommend check with your church. If you're part of our church fellowship, I would highly suggest you talk with our church about helping out on a possible mission trip. And even around the area, I understand there's various locations I will check into that I might help around the Sugar Land area. So anyway, does that answer your question, Bill?
Sounds great. And thanks so much for that report. I think we get thumbs up from everybody on that. And if you have the opportunity to go on a mission trip, definitely do it. Give it a try. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. This is No Church Answers. We'll be right back.
Hey, pastors and church leaders. Are you looking to create an exciting program that will attract, engage, and inspire men in your congregation? Book a live Man Up Spiritual Oasis podcast for your next men's ministry event. Called Authentic, Gritty, and Unexpectedly Funny, Man Up has been delighting podcast listeners since 2017. We're not pastors, just regular guys willing to talk about scripture and how we can apply it to our personal faith journeys. Man Up is a refreshing alternative to predictable motivational speakers, offering your audience a chance to connect with everyday Christian men who don't settle for routine Sunday school answers. Interested in learning more? Visit man-upspiritualoasis.com or contact Bill Cox at liveshow@manupmedia.org. And now, back to the fellows of Man Up.
And welcome back. This is No Church Answers podcast number 323. And we are in the cry for freedom, a grace that is still amazing. This is study of Galatians from GC2 Press. And I want to go ahead and jump right into the lesson and start with producer Steve.
Yes, we're going to talk about another one of Robert's favorite parts is the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, here it's in, we've been looking at Galatians since the beginning of the year. And Paul is making his case for salvation through faith, faith alone, and the walking with the Spirit, or as he says here, walk by the Spirit, perhaps is the other side of the coin. It isn't all about just, oh, I'm free now. I believe I'm free. There are no rules and regulations and rituals. There are really aspects of this that involve a change of life. And of course, it's this idea of walking with the Spirit, and really, as Paul would put it quite dramatically, crucifying your sin, crucifying the flesh, and becoming liberated in the Spirit. And I'll just begin by here because the Paul in this section contrasts the so-called the ways of the flesh with the ways of the Spirit. And it's very easy to fall into a false dichotomy between the flesh and the Spirit. And churches do it. Sunday school teachers do it. We tend to think, when we think of this way, we think of it a dichotomy of the Spirit being some kind of elevated aspect. Your soul, which soars when it hears Beethoven. And flesh has everything to do with the degradations of, I'll put a point, you know, big one, of course, is sex, sexual promiscuity, but also throw in gluttony, drunkenness, kind of the physical attributes that can be abused or overdone. That's a Platonic idea, not a biblical idea, that the flesh and the Spirit are at war with each other. Paul uses the word sarx for flesh in Greek, sarx, which connotes much more than simply fleshly desires. It really means your sinful nature. The NIV Bible recently updated, its latest edition, it updated back to using the word flesh, but in the previous edition it used sinful desires, which is the connotation in the Greek. It's the whole nature. But to cut to the chase, it's essentially this. In Christianity, it's not a case of there is a good Steve who's, you know, a soulful, and a bad Steve who's purely physical. And good Steve is fighting with bad Steve. There's really only a sinful Steve who gravitates toward ways of the world. But when I do my best to turn myself over to the Spirit, that's when I become liberated. That's when I move away. And the sins of the flesh aren't simply too much sex, too much food. I wouldn't say too much. Promiscuous sex. Let's put it this way. Promiscuous sex, too much food, too much drink, too much gambling. But it's also hatred. It's also prejudice. It's also envy. It's all those bad things that literally eat at the soul. So that's what we should keep in mind when Paul talks about that and includes it in this list. And so that's kind of my opening to set the scene here as we talk about crucifying our ways of the flesh, our sinful desires, and turning our lives over to the Spirit.
Excellent, Professor.
So go listen to several of our old podcasts. We did a double series of this on Weeds of the World and Fruit of the Spirit. We've done our Galatians James debate, works and faith debate, and we talk about fruit and gifts. And the fruit of the Spirit is one of those things, as Steve says, it's one of my favorite, because I always like to tell everybody, when you read the list of fruit of the Spirit, here's the catch. we're all supposed to have all of those all the time. You know, it's not the gifts of Spirit where, you know, some of us are called to preach, some of us are called to teach, some are called to pray, hospitality, you know, all of those. Fruit of the Spirit, rather, is something we're all supposed to have all of them. As Steve said, it's a fruit salad. You know, we're supposed to have them continually in our lives. And so it's one of those things as we approach this and you think about it, I always like to put it in that perspective as we move forward, because it's the starting point.
Excellent. Michael Cropper.
Folks, the lesson we're looking at, the lesson from our book, Connect 360, was written by our youth leader, who Robert's, we're all familiar with, but I think Robert's closer to him than possibly most of us, because Robert's been working with youth so long. But anyway, Scotty makes this comment here, and he says, this is what the lesson is about. And he says, each of us has a sinful nature. We simply call it human nature. When we become a follower of Jesus, God places his Holy Spirit in our hearts, and the war begins. Our sinful nature is always pushing us towards sin, and the Holy Spirit is always prompting us toward holy living. Now, folks, it's not easy. I think Steve said that, too. It's not easy at all. We're going to look at that, because Paul tells us in Romans 7, he says, first of all, I've got to tell you, there's three different laws that Paul actually addresses, not one. One is the law of God, and the law of God is holy. It's just and good, Romans 7, 12. But the law of the flesh is self-centered, Romans 7, 15. And the law of sin, which is identified by God's law, Romans 7, 8, is what confuses us and confused Paul into following the flesh. And he tells you this in Romans 13. If you ever want to, so you write that down. There's three laws that he identifies with, and I often get those confused, because it's important that we are aware that the law of sin tempts our law of the flesh, and which is contrary to the law of God, which is holy and just and good. So, as we have mentioned in our last podcast, we are free. Steve aptly went into that. But we are not free to do anything we want. We are free to not sin, or to choose not to sin, and to choose to love God and our brothers. Bill?
Excellent. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture. This is Galatians 5, and I'll be doing 16 through 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
That last line should be part of those acts of the flesh, right? But we're going to talk about that.
Well, he goes back and forth. I mean, his structure is...
It's very interesting. Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
Is like ABA.
He's got that separated from that in the scripture, but it's definitely part of the draw of the flesh and our desires to entertain our sinful nature, right?
You know, I had a story that I was... I'll just tell it anyway. Have you ever seen... wild horses. My brother-in-law has Percherons, beautiful black horses, draft horses, very nice. And when they're out in the field before they're trained, you know, when they're just juveniles and stuff, they're all biting and they're fighting over the hay and kicking each other and jostling for superiority. When they get older, and I'll never forget these two, the first it started with a halter, then it became a bridle, then it became a harness. And Hoss and Ben, I think their names were, they were draft horses, and Joe hooked them to a plow. And those horses, when they were young, if you let them out of a pen, you would have to chase them forever. You put them next to each other, and then they plow. And at the end of the day, you take the plow off them, they just walk back to their pen. And when it got to the point to where they were so used to each other, because Hoss was on the left, he was bigger. And Ben Cartwright.
Yes, I was in there.
That's what it was. It was from Bonanza. That's what he named him, from Bonanza. Hoss was bigger, and Ben was on the right-hand side. And when he'd get ready to get the harnesses out, they would come and stand next to each other, getting ready to go. And I think of that as kind of like the spirit, because it was a rough first week getting them trained. And that's the discipline that we, and especially it's tough on men, because the vast majority of us are basically alpha males. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean we want to, you know, have a flower, hold a flower and, you know, shuffle like a monk. But it was discipline. And then after the first, I say, week or so, and you almost saw their personality developed. They liked pulling the plow. They liked being awesome. And because that's what they were bred for. That's what they were meant to be. And so as I kind of read this, and I kind of thought about those two horses, because if we would have left them in the pen, they would have never got a grown out of being a juvenile. They'd continually fight, bite, kick. It wouldn't be useful. A little bit of training, a little bit of discipline, they were incredibly useful.
Isn't it true that sheepdogs will naturally shepherd sheep even if they've never been trained? They all have a natural instinct to... I've heard that they will have a natural instinct actually bring in sheep even without basic training. They will go out and herd sheep. But that, of course, they'll be much better if you train them.
Right.
But sounds like
I wouldn't doubt it, but yeah, maybe.
I wonder if you knew it.
I always go back to not gardening, because God knows I don't garden, but my yard.
Right.
And that's one reason why I always like to refer to that front part as weeds of the world versus fruit of the spirit. Because if you have your grass, and so I was kind of joking with Davey, I'm coming to the men's pancake breakfast, but skipping the work day because I've been traveling and I like being alive and then married. Right. So I need to touch my yard because it is overgrown with weeds. Why? Because I haven't cultivated and kept up my yard. So the weeds have come in. And so you're talking about training. So we refer to that as exercising your faith muscle, the spiritual disciplines, Bible study, prayer, corporate worship, meditation, the things we talk about doing as Christians. Those cultivate this fruit of the Spirit, and it helps keep out, because if you don't cultivate that fruit, then the weeds can more easily creep in as you're looking at them and listening to them. And that's one thing. And I like, Steve, I like your question here. You know, surrender the Spirit, righteousness will follow. Yeah, no, it doesn't happen that way.
Well, this is, wait a minute.
It does
no,
to an extent.
No, but stop. Gotta, no, okay. I, because that whole thing, this is, because I want to interject this.
Okay.
Because the commentary that, in fact, I think the authors have been using and I've been referencing is by Scott McKnight, and he writes, and I made a note of it, I don't think he wrote it with much pleasure. He wrote, "I know of no Christian parents or youth leaders, or for that matter, any pastors who seriously believe what Paul teaches in Galatians 5:16 through 26, what we just read." and that the sole foundation of Christian ethics is dependency on the Spirit and life, and the life of freedom in the Spirit. What, to me, what Paul is saying here is that true surrender to the Spirit and righteousness will follow. He says you'll go move past the need for this law,
okay,
and you'll naturally fall in line with what the Spirit wants, and all those nuances and worries you have about what the law says this here, but it says this over there, that becomes at least more clear. So we're supposed to believe that, Robert. That's what I think, and we're supposed to in some ways act like we.
But believing it, and the righteousness occurs at our moment of salvation and faith. But I think to practically live our life, I think is where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That in reality, the righteousness hits at our moment of salvation. But for us to practically live in this world, because we're in a weird place. Let's be real. We're in the world, but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is existing as a temporal, corporeal, physical location that we're in our physical bodies at this point. So we're trying to live in that world with our sinful nature still there. And so while the righteousness and freedom come, I think to combat the ever-ending assault, and I'm going to call it that, from the enemy, the ever-ending assault, and, you know, we could talk about ever-ending assaults in so many ways, but to combat that, you have to keep within the Spirit, not as much of a works, in my mind, it's not works.
Right, I think it's more a mystical type of thing where you're trying really to connect with, a supernatural way. Oh, yeah. What does God want me, who's behind this veil, who really doesn't make himself anymore? He's no longer physically accessible in this world.
Mm-hmm.
How is he making it clear? And he says we've been promised that it exists within us now, the Holy Spirit,
right.
God himself. We are temples of the Lord. But I'm going to, well, that's my second question. Uh-huh. Is it just part of our human condition, the condition of this world, that we try as we may, can we ever totally make this surrender? Are we in hedging? Sometimes I feel that way. That, you know, I want to, you know, even Paul said, there are things I want to do and don't end up doing. Is this idea, this great idea of this freedom in the Spirit, is it as impossible as following the law? Even though we're maybe it's covered by
no. Okay. I think it's a way to help us avoid, because it's the conviction. Your third point, the conviction of the Spirit, does the Holy Spirit show you sin when you don't want to see it? Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to use this, and please, guys, I'm a guy. We joined a gym. So it was bad enough when women wore yoga leggings all the time. Mm. You know, now they have yoga leggings that are specifically designed to accent.
To attract men.
I mean, they're like designed not just because they're tight, but they're designed to lift, separate, and all that good stuff. As leggings, you know, and you're sitting there trying to work out, and it's like, God, really? You know, but I'm just as an example of a place where, you know, this is like, it's hard to go to the gym nowadays, I'll be honest with you. But it's also one of those things where I find when I'm walking closer, it's easier for me to do the appreciative glance versus the stare, Mike, in our previous conversations we've had.
Well, sure. Stare is bad manners anyway.
Right.
But go ahead.
But it's really hard.
Yeah.
But I'm using that kind of as an example of a place where it's a way to force myself in a walk, or a way to where the Spirit is helping convict me versus, you know, the world would be telling me, enjoy the view, buddy boy.
Right.
Easy killer. We're going to go ahead and let Professor Koshu settle down a little bit. We're going to take our second break. This is No Church Answers. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Bill Cox, director of Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men. We hope you enjoy our show as much as we enjoy doing it. But our ministry needs your support if we are to continue to bring our TV show, our podcast, our live shows to men seeking spiritual refreshment. For as little as $5 a month, you can become a patron of Man Up Spiritual Oasis. Get more details at our page on patreon.com. If you would like to support us directly, you can make a contribution through PayPal at donate@manupmedia.org. All contributions are tax deductible. We're not pastors, just regular guys. So whether you're successful or struggling, we hope to bring you the good news of God's saving grace as we share our own spiritual journeys. Please consider supporting Man Up and No Church Answers today.
And welcome back, everybody. This is No Church Answers. And this seems to be a common theme that about men, fruit of the Spirit, which is different from fruits of the Spirit. You know, honestly, fruits of the Spirit seems to me to be a one's talent and your opportunity to do it for the Lord's, do it for the kingdom. However, fruit of the Spirit seems to be more like playing defense. When you're out in the world, how do you resist the worldly temptations, and how do you have that kind of discipline? And as we sit here in the studio, each of us are different people. Some have easier, vices are easier for them to resist. Some people that have traits of sin, like I said before, one particular one of mine is anger, and you're going to probably deal with that probably the vast majority of your life. Well, one thing about it, and I want to just throw this back out to the fellas, it shouldn't shock anybody when the same thing comes up. And I think that's when we really have to recognize that we're going to need a little extra discipline on this particular topic. Michael Cropper?
Yeah, the question on that surrender to the Spirit, first and the second one, that we're talking about right now, surrender to the Spirit and righteousness will follow. Do we really believe that? The problem is it sounds as though you can snap your fingers and choose to walk away or walk by the Spirit. All those desires that you grew with and grew inside you till you accepted Christ or walked with Him will suddenly disappear, which is what you were telling us, right, Steve? It seems like it will go away, but they don't. And that's what Robert says. They don't go on away automatically. So can anyone totally surrender to the Spirit? I say, yes, you can. They don't last long. I repent and I say, Lord, forgive me. Mm-hmm. Give me a clean heart. Let me start over. Gives me a clean heart. I feel great. Go out and then I'll get the good temptations again. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's temporary only because we're tempted constantly. And Satan will try various things in your weakness until he finds one that gets your attention, your focus, and gets your mind off of serving the Lord. Like I said, eventually he will find a weakness which we are not prepared to battle, and distracts us from following God.
I think there's kind of understanding your weakness. It's this idea of the Spirit will convict you, and that's our pastor's been doing some number of series about this. But probably the most dangerous. The dangerous thing in our culture right now is that there's no such thing as sinning, or that I can do it, or whatever, I don't do it, or best of all, whatever I'm doing isn't sinful. And you start, as a Christian, you realize it's much easier to see truth. That's one of the things I think that I think I am blessed with, is I find it very difficult to fool myself now. I know when I'm trying to fool myself. But I go up against people who completely, and I would say that most cases they're not Christians. They just simply are blind to, and I'm not going to say like be dramatic and say evil, but they're blind to the the self-indulgence, the selfishness, the idea of, you know, this is all good for me. It doesn't matter. It's your problem.
The self-forced error.
Yeah, and self-forced errors. So, but coming back to the idea of the fruit of the Spirit, again, what Robert was saying, it's cultivated. Fruit, you know, takes a season to grow. It's not like popcorn where it's, you know, sizzle a little bit, it's popped, it's done. It grows, so you can actually even say you don't have a certain degree of control when you're planting a bush or a tree. You might cultivate it all properly. It might not bear fruit. There's a certain degree of handing it over to nature, or if you want to go a step further, handing it over to God, that's involved in this. But on my end, to bring it back to what you're saying, I know there are things that trigger unfruits, trigger the pits, trigger the weeds. And and that's part of it is realizing that and avoiding that in some cases, or doing your best. You nurture these fruits to a certain extent through effort, but also really understanding what your weaknesses are. We've talked about fruits of the Spirit a lot. This is written to a church that is in danger of splitting up, and Paul is trying to stop that. And so he's throwing these characteristics out, which are very much geared toward conflict resolution. And like we as men, we always like to fight. Oh, I always got to be the one to win. Years ago, I knew a guy who was an attorney, like you. But he really, at a certain point, and then again, I don't know where he stood in his faith life, but he said, you know something, what I really want to be is an arbitrator, because I hate the win-loss battles over a lot of stupid things that come to, and I'd much rather sit down and get two people to agree on something. And so Paul's almost saying that's a more virtuous road to take. So and we as men, I just want to talk about using some of these fruit and patience, forbearance, self-control to resolve conflicts. Even though, you know, we have almost across the board in our, and I'll come back to a few of my thoughts. But
Professor.
Well, and it's funny you talk about that, because it's, as you begin to approach this, I'm kind of like you, Steve. It's the, when I'm walking closer, I recognize my triggers easier. and I think that's really one of the biggest pieces of this. And I still just love the analogy of fruit. You have to prune it. You have to work at it. You know, we just grow, you know. But fruit, you really, if you're really going to keep fruit going, you know, you really, like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. You plant an apple tree. Bill, help me out. 3 to 5 years before you get one apple out of it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then you got to prune it, and you got to take care of it. You got to do that. But if I let a field go and don't touch it, all of a sudden I got weeds and everything else growing. And I think that's really one of the things it boils down to, is how do we approach this to build up the fruit, and how do we use the fruit in our everyday lives? And I think that's the other part that we have to talk about and think through is when I look at those characteristics and those, what let's call them what they are, the personality traits. You know, I'm supposed to be gentle and forgiving and loving and show kindness and all of those things as a human being. And as a man, in today's business world, that's a good way to get yourself thrown under the bus if you're not careful. Quickly, I might add. You know, it's not appreciated, you know, in the business world or in men's world, because you're supposed to be cutthroat. And part of it comes back to this post-Christian world we're living in, where nothing is sinful and nothing is wrong.
You're the man still in the working world, I'm not going to argue with that, but can you... I don't want to say the nice guy, but can you hold to these
ideas.
Yes.
And still, not just, you know, still succeed and without having to descend into the ways of the world.
Yes. But I will say this. It part of the reason I try to keep my A game on is because I can shift very easily into the cutthroat business world. And, you know, last week during spring break, I was in the lovely town of Coffeyville, Kansas, where the Dalton Gang met their end, if you want to know your history. But part of the reason I was there is I'm trying to build a relationship with somebody that I don't have a good relationship with within my group, you know, and trying to spend time and cultivate the relationship, because quite frankly, I'm kind of getting to the point that I want to be the cutthroat. No, we're done, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, and I'm trying not to go there, but you can, but it takes a lot more work. I think it takes a lot more work, and you might have to accept losses along the way. And I think that's the easiest way to put it. You have to be willing to accept the losses. You can be successful, but you have to be willing to accept the losses along the way and the fact that you might not be able to get things done as quick as the guy next door to you who is willing to take the shortcuts.
Let me ask you this. What are I should be specific. What are some of the losses, but at the end of the day, what are some of the long-term gains?
The long-term gains are the relationship and the people. Mm-hmm. You know, in the training world, I have been successful mainly because I have built on developing relationships. Much more than, you know, I think I develop okay training, but it's more about I'm willing to sit down, talk, and have relationships with people. And so that's the long-term gain. The short-term losses have been I'm not willing to run over somebody. So it's sometimes it's taken me longer to get something along the way to get something done because I'm willing to take the time and invest, spend the time getting to know the people and understand what they're about and what makes them tick versus coming in and plowing your way through. And I think that is the interesting part. And it's interesting because there's a book that was a New York Times bestseller last year called Love is a Business Language. And it's really based on that. And I'm actually wearing their socks today. Actually, have Love is a Business Language socks because I met the authors. Mm-hmm. They spoke at an event I was at last year. But it's funny to me that the working world is starting to figure this out a little bit on one level. But in my mind, where I've seen the sacrifices, you have to be willing to give up some of the short-term gains to get there.
Excellent. Michael Cropper.
Yes. Folks, when we go back on a point, I had a couple things in the scriptures. I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but when Bill read the list of sins of the acts of the flesh that Paul listed, they're pretty strong. And most of them are not things we're going to see around us in the church, inside the church. For instance, drunkenness, orgies, dissensions, factions. Things like that.
Wait a minute. Let me finish.
You had your chance.
Here we go.
You'll get some more. Okay. Anyway, and witchcraft. However, and the reason I say that, folks, I want you to notice at the end of verse 21, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a new Christian, it doesn't mean that if you have envy or jealousy right now in your life, that you're automatically going to be one of those persons who doesn't inherit the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. But what he's saying, those who live like that as a practice, and the guys can throw in something on that, but I think that's important for you to know, because when I read this when I was a new Christian, it scared the daylights out of me, because they said they're all on the same level, the same basis. And maybe one day we'll do a podcast on whether different levels of sin that faces us. That would be an interesting thought, but not right now, folks. We're not doing it now. Anyway, and then, so you may ask yourself, so why if these heavy-duty sins plus mental sins are thrown in here so greatly, why does he come in the next paragraph, the next subject, and introduce the fruit of the Spirit? Why is that important? Why is he not showing us acts of goodness or righteousness to give an example of what to do or how to act? And I mean, we can all address that. I know.
Is that a rhetorical question? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to answer it. You guys can answer too. I just thought it's very interesting. Yeah, okay. Folks, the reason, and Scotty points this out in the lesson, he wrote this letter, again, the guys mentioned earlier, and Steve may have even commented on it. If you did, I apologize. Mm-hmm. I missed it. The point is, folks, you don't just tell yourself to stop sinning and stop. You'll go right back to it. What you do is you begin to fill out or fill in the nature of your desire to envy, to covet, to want these desires of the flesh, to seek them. You get rid of them by pushing them out of your mind through the gifts of the Spirit. I think this is why Robert loves it so much. Am I correct? And guys, y'all can comment on that. The point is, you seek after these gifts of the Spirit. Let's see, self-control, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and they will slowly push out the desire for the acts of the flesh.
To stay what you're saying, you're right. Your chances are in your church, you're not going to find an orgy, but boy, will you find clicks. Will you find some of this stuff? This is what's going
on. I don't see clicks in here.
What do we got? Factions, dissensions.
You're right. I know that.
That's what I mean. These are part. It's not what I mentioned earlier. It's not that all the bad stuff has to do with literally what's connected to your flesh. This is all part of your sinful nature. And it's human nature, jealousy and discord. And this is what's worrying Paul, what's going on in the church, where the Judaizers have created these factions. I'm with this guy, I'm with this guy, I'm with Paul. He addresses this with other churches in other letters.
Yeah.
And he says, this isn't Christian, guys. Someone's telling you that if this is happening in the church, you're not doing it right. Right. And he's kind of so it's a good sign. If you see too much of this in your church or in your life, but let's start with the church because this is what we're talking about with Galatians. There's something wrong here. There's something that needs to be addressed.
Right.
Because like you said, you start cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, all of this, gentleness and self-control. Self-control is pretty much the opposite of fits of rage, of flying off the handle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I see. Yeah. Wow. Forbearance, forgiveness is separate from dissensions and factions.
Yeah.
Gentleness is, selfish ambition. Who am I going to run over to get what I need?
Yep.
He really wants to get the Galatian church back to a unified, back on the path to this spiritual, to walking by the Spirit. I'll say the rest for my wrap up.
It's been a great discussion. Fruit of the Spirit. And I want to go around the room one more time and get some takeaways from the fellows and start with Michael Cropper.
Folks, what Steve and I just talked about or very calmly discussed was problems we continue to face if we walk in the Spirit. In verses 20 and 21 of our text, we see two bright line sins which are listed as sexual sin and drunkenness. And as Steve said, they're not usually prevalent in the church. You don't see drunk people walk around your service on Sunday morning. However, there are a couple of sins that Paul mentions that I've struggled with, and that's why I'm mentioning this again. Jealousy and selfish ambition can be found in the church, and they can cause great conflict, and as Steve said, divisiveness or separation in the church. And a favorite topic we will hopefully discuss in the future, I said, are there different levels of sin? In other words, are you really on the same category of idolatry and witchcraft if you in fact coveted your neighbor's car or other things that he has, his house, things like that, things he's acquired through hard work. So anyway, the author of the lesson, Scotty, says that there are, these sins are all lumped together. They're treated equally. Since all sins are lumped together, if that's true, gossip about politics or even criticizing worship styles is equal to sexual immorality or witchcraft. And I don't know if they are or not. I told you that one day we'll hopefully talk about that, whether or not they're different levels of sin. But also, putting into focus what he mentioned, also envying the wealth of others can separate us from God as we were performing witchcraft, as if we were performing witchcraft. So those are questions that maybe we'll toss around one day. So one other thing that is easy to do in the church, and that's pointing out other people's sin. It's easy for us to point out or point to others who are struggling with a sin that we don't struggle with while we ignore our own sin. We have to be careful. I know I had to be careful of that when I first started following Jesus. And, of course, the Pharisees were notorious for pointing fingers at Jesus on these type of sins. Now, remember, folks, just a few things, a couple of practical recommendations. Remember, these seemingly harmless could be destructive acts are gossip, criticizing shortcomings of your brethren, criticizing the pastor or your worship leader, criticizing the music, criticizing the worship music. These may be seemingly small, but they are divisive to the church and they can be harmful. Because, why? Because they focus our attention off loving our brothers and sisters, worshiping God, so that we forget to show neighborly love to those who are around us. So if you struggle with any of these sins, remember, though, do this. Seek the Lord, ask to forgive, and remember that Paul also experienced the pull of the flesh in Romans 7. And why are the fruits of the Spirit listed? Because, as we just mentioned, Steve and I just mentioned, they're there to fill your mind, back up the holy traits of God, and your mind will then displace the sinful desires. Bill?
Excellent takeaway from you, Professor.
Yeah. Focus on cultivating your fruit. You know, how do you actively put those things into your head to keep yourself gentle, to keep yourself kind, to keep yourself loving, to keep yourself focused on what God wants you to do? Because it literally is, when people see those personality traits around us and they see the difference in us, then they can see the difference we make in the world. And I think that is really the real lesson of Galatians, is the freedom that we have in Christ calls us to a responsibility. Now, I'll go ahead and quote Spider-Man: with great power comes great responsibility. You know, we have been given the ultimate power, the power of salvation through God, and the responsibility we have is to live a life that would draw others to that, to be the light on the hill. And focusing on how we can encourage that is really where this ends up.
Excellent. Producer Steve Titch.
I'm going to qualify a few things. Yes, I think you have to begin with the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to footnote your statement. I don't necessarily think criticism of the pastor, I don't think criticism of the service, I don't think criticism of music is inherently sinful in of itself. There are just ways to do it, and that's exactly what Paul is setting out here. And the Lord is immensely creative in guiding towards solutions that work out for everyone. I just had the thought, if you don't like the music, you always can consider something and consider solutions. There are a number of churches who do annual fundraisers and do some fun things, and a call to mind was one church I remember. If you pledged, I guess it might have been an auction, kind of a reverse auction. If you pledged a certain amount and won that particular category of, you can choose to retire a hymn for 1 year, which basically means we do not sing. You give a certain amount of money, we will not sing that hymn. there's a way of kind of saying, okay, that's if you cute. Really dislike that, here's your way to retire that for a year. Robert likes the idea. I think he's really going to suggest it to the committee.
But you're saying attitude is a big part.
Yeah, well, yes.
I think the attitude and the approach.
And I think that's good. Certainly things can get tiresome. And I've also there have been situations in churches where there have been issues with the pastor, not necessarily over content, whatever, but just kind of his way of management.
You might say. Mars Hill, sorry.
Well, that was a big example.
Mark Driscoll.
So that's really, I think, where Paul is coming from. Everything must be done in a spirit of love. Love is the first one on the list. It's the first of the fruit on the list. But it is singular. Fruit of the Spirit is. So all that, as you said, it's not, you know, we're going to have some of this and some of that. We really should be encouraged to have all that fruit.
Excellent. Thanks so much for tuning in. I just wanted to say something that you don't need to have an opinion on everything. Nobody expects you to. So, and with that, thanks so much for tuning in to No Church Answers. And once again, thanks so much to our sponsors and supporters on behalf of our producer, Steve Titch, Michael Cropper, Robert Koshy. My name is Bill Cox, and our podcast is available Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. Please rate our podcast and leave a review. And if you have a question or comment, you can go to our Facebook page or NoChurchAnswers.com and post it there. And if you're unable to attend a church, check out the Sugarland Church streaming service. It's on Facebook, YouTube, SugarlandBaptist.org. It starts Sundays at 9:45 a.m. And when you are ready, we encourage each and every one of you to join a local Bible-based church. Why local? So you'll go and participate and find a small group, ABF, which is Adult Bible Fellowship, or Sunday school class that you can join for small group discussions just like this one. And find one that is men only. If there isn't one, start one and take No Church Answers.
You've been listening to No Church Answers, the weekly Christian podcast for men. Tell us what you think. Leave a comment or review. Want to know more about us? Then visit NoChurchAnswers.com and our Facebook page. Check out our video series on our YouTube channel. You can also become a patron of No Church Answers by visiting our Patreon page. No Church Answers is a production of Man Up Spiritual Oasis Media, which is solely responsible for its content.